Hello, this is Elena Merlis with Earth Connections. I'm so happy to introduce to you Rachel Shapiro, Chief Paradigm Shifter at Rachel Shapiro, Inc. She is a health warrior and a food systems advocate with a love of all things green and growing. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Elena. I am wonderful today.
Good, good. I think of you as a powerhouse of positivity, and I was just so lucky to happen by you last week.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. I laughingly refer to myself as the eternal optimist.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what you do, and then we will ask our famous question?
Yeah, sure. So pretty much I do lots of things, and they all kind of revolve around food. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I am the executive director of a nonprofit called Soil and Soul, and we run Tiger Territory Education Garden in Lake Worth Beach, Florida, and that's a permaculture teaching garden associated with one of our elementary schools. And then I also am opening up a network of food hubs in the southeast region of Florida. And a food hub is essentially the connecting agency and infrastructure for the various sectors of the food system in a local food system.
Okay. It's very interesting and very much needed. So, I mean, the fact that you're into gardening and food makes a lot of sense for this next question. When did you develop a consciousness for how the earth supports us?
You know, I've been thinking about that question ever since you sent it to me earlier in the week, and I honestly don't have a clear moment.
Okay.
My parents raised us very kind of earth conscious, holistically. We didn't go to doctors. We drank more water if we had a headache, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was just something that's always been part of my awareness. Hmm.
Because your parents raised you to be that kind of human being.
Yeah, to be aware of the interconnection between all life.
Right. Did you grow up gardening?
I grew up resisting gardening. My mother pretty much, oh golly, one of her favorite stories of me. I used to love to get manicures when I was a young woman. Huh? And she likes to tell the story of being excitedly inviting me out to help her in the garden. She had moved to England when I was in my teenage years, and I went to visit. She had a lovely garden, vegetable garden in the backyard. And she'd say, Rachel, come and garden, darling. And I waved my manicured fingers at her and said, oh, I don't do gardening.
I can't believe that. And look at you now.
Oh, it's hilarious. We had a good chuckle about that when I started getting into it.
That's so cute. So you never know, right? You never know who's going to partake in the earth's treasures.
it was a powerful lesson for me about sowing seeds, both literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Because you don't know when that seed will bear fruit.
Yes.
You just plant it in faith and trust.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. What are some of the ways that you're working on helping shift the food paradigm and growing paradigm here in South Florida?
Well, sovereignty has become one of my favorite words lately. Mm-hmm. And I am really adamant about educating anyone who will listen about the power behind being sovereign in our food production. So, one of my efforts is leading Soil and Soul and managing the education garden. I don't necessarily do the teaching there. We have some amazing teachers, and you met Michelle at the garden.
Yes.
And her partner, Ralph, is another amazing teacher, and other community members. So educating people about native plants, permaculture and regenerative style growing techniques, you know, our current factory farming system and subsidized farming at the national level is detrimental to our environment and to human health.
Correct.
And so educating people that there's actually a less expensive, more efficient, more productive, and more enjoyable way.
And healthier.
And healthier that we can all take part in. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite sayings from permaculture is the problem is the solution.
Ah.
And in our current dichotomy of thinking in our, in I'm going to just speak for America right now, that what I see in my experience is that we have all these problems, and then there's a separate solution that we have to go out and find, and it may be hard or it may be expensive. And what permaculture teaches us is actually there are no problems. What we call a problem is simply the solution to another problem.
Right. So, can you give us an example?
I look out in my yard, mm-hmm. and I notice when it rains that in certain areas I get a lot of runoff, mm-hmm. and it shifts the soil or it shifts the mulch, and you know, so then I start to think, okay, well, that could be a problem, right? Because it's moving stuff that I wanted to be in a certain place. Mm-hmm. But then if I start to apply my critical thinking skills, and critical thinking skills is another service that I provide to my community. Mm-hmm. I actually dropped out of high school in my junior year because I recognized that I was being told what to think, not learning how to think. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. That was boring. So I subsequently, after a few years of world exploration and you know, waitressing and teaching English in the Czech Republic, I ended up coming back to Florida and getting a job in the luxury yachting industry. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that I was learning to think critically, you know, see a problem, address it, think about it, and then figure out what to do about it. And so when I apply that ability to the water runoff in my garden, I start to realize that, all right, well, there's all this water running. So what if I just either redirected the water to where I need water? Mm-hmm. Or I created a berm in which I was able to collect that water right where it was falling. Mm-hmm. Then it actually solves my other problem of having to water my plants.
Right. Which is the basis of permaculture to begin with, right? That all things have to work together as one.
Well, it's that they do.
Yes, they do.
It's that in nature, there are no problems. There's just the way nature is. Mm-hmm. It's only the human consciousness that actually labels anything a problem.
Right. Very interesting. Oh, I love this. Do you do private consulting?
The short answer is yes. It just depends on what you're looking for consulting on.
Right. So when you talk about paradigm shifting, what kind of things do you work on with people?
Well, as I said, I run that education.
Right.
The organization that runs the education garden. We also have mindfulness programs we take out to schools, and we actually intertwine those two in mindfulness and nature in the garden. So that's a paradigm shift right there.
Right.
It's actually bringing people centered and giving them the opportunity to experience the present moment. Yeah. I also run two other organizations. One is Do Well, Do Good Corporation, which is creating the network of food hubs. Oh. And I also have Rachel Shapiro, Inc., through which I run an online community membership for entrepreneurial women.
Beautiful. So they're mostly consulting for groups, not individuals, not single individuals, correct?
I like to have a larger impact. It's not that I don't consult for individuals. Okay. I guess I'm just a little vague on what you're asking of me, but I mm-hmm. I don't say no. I'm not going to say I don't do something until I actually know what it is that I'm being asked to do.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. So, if there are groups that want to get in touch with you, such as schools or learning centers, how would they do that?
Well, my email address and my website address is Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Shapiro, S-H-A-P-I-R-O, Inc.com. Mm-hmm. And my email address is Rachel at Rachel Shapiro, Inc. And my phone number is 954-465-6320.
Mm-hmm. And what other things would you like people to know about you and paradigm shifting?
I would like people to be less interested in me and more interested in themselves and their personal power. We are living in, I'm not going to say, I have been using the word unprecedented times, but the truth is they are precedented. If one is a student of history and philosophy, we can see the cyclical nature of human consciousness. And we are experiencing the shifting of a cycle at the moment. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be the source of war. It doesn't have to be the source of upset. It's exciting and it's thrilling. And when we all are willing to live who we really are, you know, we hear a lot of talk about purpose and living a purposeful life and what's your purpose. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned is that my purpose is to be Rachel.
Right.
Every day, if I just be Rachel, I am living my purpose. And when I gave myself permission to be Rachel, not, you know, the product of my education or not, you know, I used to think when I was a kid that a successful woman was a busy executive woman. Mm-hmm. And I should be running from appointment to appointment, and my calendar should be full, and I should have a day planner, and that would make me successful. Mm-hmm. And that just made me sick. I've dealt on and off with adrenal fatigue and adrenal exhaustion. Because I was trying to be that busy lady.
Right.
And when I learned that all I really need to do is be Rachel, and then, you know, success both internally and externally showed up. That was like the key to the universe to me. And that's really what I do, what I hold space for. And that's the paradigm shift that I'm most interested in is really like it, when we all simply just be ourselves.
Right.
And that could be angry, and that could be worried, and that could be messy, but there's power there.
Right. I think.
And just as in an orchestra, the oboe, the violin, the cello, we all have our own pieces of music to play.
Yes.
And the song is complete when we all play our piece of music.
Right. And it doesn't make somebody any less intelligent to do it a different way because they're bringing forth their real self. And I think a lot of us are taught to forget why we're here instead of living our true purpose.
Well, we're told that our purpose is something that exists outside of ourselves. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, I have very, I guess my beliefs about life can be considered metaphysical or existential, or I don't know what word you want to use. I'm not a big fan of labels. Mm-hmm. I believe that everything is viewed through our own personal perception. There is nothing real outside of my perception in my experience of this life.
Right.
So I get to decide what I see in the world around me. And this is one of the things my parents taught me, much to their own chagrin while I was growing up. But, you know, they told me that Rachel gets what she wants and she can, and I get to decide what my life experience is. And I believed them.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It's a very powerful belief.
And I've moved through life, and the truth is I've gotten older. You know, I went through my own kind of wanting to fit in and and wanting to be what other people thought I should be, but never quite feeling comfortable. And that's where the illness came in. And I've had, you know, I've been lucky to be working with a coach for the last several years who has simply held that space for me, that container of who are you, Rachel? What's your truth right now? And then helping me move through those internal belief systems that I laid down that kept me from being that.
Well, you've done a lot of work. Like it takes work to unearth and be yourself, because there are so many layers that are put on us through a lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
20 years.
It's amazing. Just amazing. And you came out so positive and, you know, productive in your own right, in your own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I do believe that I was the Rachel, the Rachels and the Elenas, we're all needed. You know, all of our individual personality traits and abilities are needed at this time.
Right.
And I'm extremely action oriented. I'm not a huge fan of chit chatting and like, oh, let's all meet and endlessly and talk about things. And like, I'm like, no, let's just do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a needed catalyst. Like vitamin C is a catalyst in our bodies for so many different activities.
Right.
I am kind of like a vitamin C catalyst in the world. And so I have this role to play. I have this piece of music in the orchestra, in the symphony.
Right.
And when I am in alignment with that, I know peace.
Beautiful. So what made you get involved in food systems?
Well, it was a kind of a circuitous route. I was working on yachts and I was a stewardess. So I did the cleaning and the serving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to notice that like the food that the chefs were putting out, I just started to say, I can do that or better.
Mm-hmm.
So I became a chef and we would travel all over the world, and one of my favorite parts was going to the local farmers markets and buying food that was fresh right then and there from the local farmers, and then finding out how to prepare it from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd like invented something. I started having this idea. I was like, whoa, you know, what if the food that was grown where we are physically and geographically in the world at that time of year, what if that contains the nutrients that our bodies need? Being in that location in that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, this is such a new concept. And then I learned there's actually this international movement called local food, you know, and people have been doing this for centuries. As my exit strategy from yachts, I got certified as a health and wellness coach. And that's when I started to look into the nutrient density or the quality of food and the role that food played in our health.
Right.
And that's when I started to dig down into, okay, well, how is food grown and where is it grown and who gets to decide who gets it and what, you know, how that's governed. And then I realized it was policy.
Hmm.
Food policy was actually what was behind all of these food system questions and queries and subsequently our health questions and queries.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, funnily enough, I was attending a food systems conference and I attended a food policy workshop because I had no idea really what it was. And then at the end of that workshop, a group of us decided to create a statewide food policy council.
Wow.
And I went on from there to spend 5 years getting this policy council, kind of reinvigorating, actually. Apparently there had been two prior attempts at a statewide council. And third time lucky, we created a steering committee, and then I spent the next 5 years chairing that organization and really making it a viable entity.
That's amazing. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. The fates led you.
You know, I just kept trusting my joy.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's just amazing.
When I was 21, my brother passed away from leukemia. He was 2 years older than me.
Mm.
And at that point, I had to make some decisions about what I thought life was about. And I realized, you know, it could end any time.
Right.
So it was for the living.
Yeah.
There was nothing else but for the living. And so that kind of guides me through my life, and it helps me make my choices. And I really believe that the quotation, follow your bliss.
Well, I, for one, thank God that there are people like you that follow their bliss and that are helping to make changes. And I really believe that there are more and more people standing up and trying to make these changes because they realize that the present system is not working. And I think you have some powerful answers about the food system. So I hope that our listeners will get in touch with you, especially the right listener for the right answer. And I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm so glad you came to the garden.
Yes.
You know, I welcome people to reach out to me, and let's just keep building what we want to see in the world.
Yes, amen. Yes. Thank you so much. Be well.
Be well.